I sit and I go over this in my office and read a few more things and all that. And all of a sudden, what I wrote isn't what I want to start with. And I have learned over the years to pay attention to when the Spirit calls you. So I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I want to tell you a story. Or actually, I'm going to read you a story out of the book. So bear with me. I think you'll find this interesting. A Methodist, William Booth, noticed that the poorest and most degraded were never in church. Richard Collier, in his History of the Salvation Army, the general next to God, describes Booth's experience. Those who made part of Broad Street congregation never forgot that electric Sunday in 1846. The gas jets dancing on whitewashed wall. The minister, the Reverend Samuel Dunn, seated comfortably on his red plush throne. A concord of voices swelling into the evening's fourth hymn. The chapel's outer door suddenly shattered open, engulfing a white scarf of fog. In its wake came a shuffling, shabby contingent of men and women, wilting nervously under the stony stares of mill managers, shopkeepers, and their well-dressed wives. In their rear, afire with zeal, marched Willful Will Booth, cannily blocking the efforts of the more reluctant to turn back. To his dismay, the Reverend Dunn saw that young Booth was actually ushering his charges, none of whose clothes would have raised 5 shillings in his own pawn shop into the very best seats. Pew holder seats, facing the pulpit, whose occupants piled the collection plate with glinting silver. This was unprecedented. For the poor, if they came to chapel, entered by another door, to be segregated on benches without backs or cushions, behind a partition which screened off the pulpit. Here, though, the service was audible. They could not see, nor could they be seen. Oblivious of the mounting atmosphere, Booth joined full-throatedly in the service, even later, he admitted, hoping this devotion to duty might rate special commendation. All too soon, he learned the unpalatable truths. Since Wesley's day, Methodism had become respectable. This experience, followed by many more similar catastrophes, led to William and Catherine Booth's expulsion by the Methodists and 14 years of poverty before founding the Salvation Army. In our text today, we're going to be talking about this idea of partiality and favoritism. James teaches us that showing partiality or favoritism is actually a sin. And he spells out how we can avoid falling into this temptation. Certain temptations and trials are constantly confronting us, of course. One of the strongest is that of showing partiality or favoritism against people. Turn with me in your Bibles to James, the 2nd chapter. We'll be reading at the beginning of the chapter 2. And while you're getting there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to the text, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, not to the knowledge that we will read, but the message that you would send to us, that our hearts might be changed, that we might walk in the way you would have us walk. We ask that you would bless the reading of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin. James chapter 2 begins here, the first 4 verses. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So here we have a charge against this idea of showing partiality. Partiality means to favor some people over others, or to pay special attention to a person because of things like wealth, social standing, looks, popularity. Of course, of all the people on the earth, the very people who should not show partiality are believers. Everyone who is in church is a brother and sister. Everyone stands on equal ground before the Lord. Everyone stands on equal ground before the Lord. Later in this commentary, the author made this great comment. He says, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. No one is higher or more acceptable than anyone else. We should be imitators of Jesus and humble ourselves. Reaching out to bring all to Christ. That means reaching out to the poor and lowly as well as to the rich and high. Should we shun the rich and wealthy? No, of course not. Yet there are four things wrong with showing partiality and favoritism. Verse 4, let's see if this worked right. Nope. Yeah, there we go. Have you not then made distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Evil thoughts? That's a pretty strong statement. The question comes up very often, you know, what evil, well, that's really terrible, terrible stuff. Well, I'm not evil. I may not be really great, but I'm not evil. I mean, I know what evil is. I'm not evil. I may not be great, but I'm not evil. You don't understand what evil is. Evil is anything that is against the Word of God. Evil is anything that says this is the moral standard of the Lord God, and this is what you're doing. And if you're doing less than or different than, that could be considered evil. Because conflicting with the Word of God is in and of itself evil. Showing partiality sets you up as a judge. Who has the right to judge men? Only God. So to show partiality makes you like God. Only God himself can determine who he will accept and not accept. That's not ours to decide. Showing partiality reveals evil thoughts. The person who shows partiality focuses on mundane and changeable things. These things change and waste away. And these thoughts are corrupt because we have to look at the person, not how they look. Consider two scenarios, okay? A young man comes in our doors on a Sunday morning and he's dressed in a fine suit and a tie. So how do you feel about approaching him? Will he get more handshakes than the pastor? Next scenario, homeless man, dirty clothes, messed up hair, scroungy beard comes in the door. Do we greet him joyfully and welcome him as an equal before God? Now, I know what you're thinking. He says, well, of course, we would do the second. We would encourage and welcome the shabby man, just like anybody. Our first thought inside of our own head, but really? The rich, well-dressed man comes in, and the shabby guy comes in. In your heart of hearts,